What's going on? Happy Friday. Welcome to another beautiful Friday here in Los Angeles. I'm currently in Los Angeles, but if you're tuning in right now, I hope it's a beautiful day for you wherever you are, most likely in Vegas, my hometown. Hopefully it's nice and sunny there still. I feel like every time I'm here in LA, it's always gloomy, but that's besides the point. I'm currently here in LA covering the Sean Porter versus Errol Spence. That fight's going down tomorrow night, as well as Bellator 228. So with that being said, later on in the show, I do have some interviews for you with TJ Dillashaw, who talks about Juan Archuleta, who is fighting Patricio Pitbull tomorrow at Bellator 228. So I spoke to TJ Dillashaw about Uriah Faber, about Henry Cejudo, what he's been up to, his businesses, and so much more. And of course, coaching Juan Archuleta. And I do have interviews with Errol Spence. My interview with Sean Porter, I played the last two shows, two different interviews with Sean Porter, but I do have an exclusive interview with Errol Spence today as he ranks his top five welterweights for me. And then I did speak to Lyoto Machida and Gegard Mousasi. So they fight tomorrow. They have their rematch. Their first fight took place in the UFC on February 15th, 2014. So over 5 years ago. So I'm super excited to see how that fight plays out tomorrow. And on the last show, I did play an interview with Jared Cannonier when I went down to Arizona to go interview him. He fights tomorrow as well. He fights Jack Hermanson. I think that fight will be so good, and it'll be very close as well. Later on in the show, I will talk more about the Spence versus Porter, kind of breaking some fights down, and of course going over with you the upcoming schedule. But I will be having special guest hosts joining me, the Schmo. We will be kind of breaking everything down as well. And tomorrow is Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz. Their rematch press conference takes place tomorrow before the fight night. So I will be covering the Spence versus Porter fights. I mean, as much as I wish both fights, Bellator and Spence versus Porter, I wish they were taking place next door to each other so I could kind of run over to one building or the other. But they will not be next door to each other, so I will be covering Spence versus Porter. But before that, I'll be covering Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz, that press conference as well. You can always stay tuned to lvsportsnetwork.com. Like I said, I mean, I don't know what other words I can say to express my gratitude for you tuning into my show, for you watching the interviews, going to lvsportsnetwork.com. If you haven't favorited it or subscribed, bookmarked it, like I said, lots of content coming up because I'm doing a lot of traveling to try to get you that exclusive content, that exclusive interview, and maybe some exclusive breaking news. You never know. You know, it's a very busy month for me. I'm going to Australia Sunday night. Would I lie and say I'm not nervous of flights and super long flights? I mean, I feel like the older I've gotten, sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm a bigger chicken now or scaredy cat than I used to be. I used to be I used to be able to fly and not really think about it. But now I'm like, okay, you know, 15, 16 hour flight. I'm not going to think about it. Hopefully watch a few movies and be able to get there. But I'm super stoked looking at everyone who is going to be there and all those fighters and be able to get those interviews for you as well. You can always tweet me at Helen Esports. Let me know, I mean, if there's anything specific that, you know, regarding a fighter that you want to know or is on your mind regarding an upcoming fight or a fighter, or, you know, just any question pertaining to, you know, the upcoming schedules, just let me know at Helen E Sports. And like I said, so much coming up on the show today, a lot of interviews, and of course tomorrow I'm gonna try to get Deontay Wilder as well as Luis Ortiz, and then the big fights go down. I mean, one in you know, overseas, and that is the Jared Cannonier versus Jack Hermanson, that UFC fight card, as well as the one I'll be going to, Sean Porter versus Errol Spence. Who do you think will win? Let me know at Helen Esports. Or are you checking out Bellator 228? Who's going to win that rematch? Is it Gegard Mousasi? Is it Lyoto Machida? You won't believe what Gegard told me about when I asked him, hey, you've accomplished so much, you've won titles in all these promotions, is there anything you haven't done that you still wish you could have? And I don't want to spoil it for you, but what I'm going to say is you don't want to miss it. So make sure you stay tuned. And also, I mean, let me know, because my flight is Sunday night to Australia. I'll probably be kind of flip-flopped on the days. And yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to think, is Australia ahead a half a day or is it behind half a day? No, I don't think it would be behind half a day, but whatever the case may be, I may be posting content on the opposite hours or whatnot. So that's why I need you to check out lvsportsnetwork.com and make sure you bookmark it. And another big shout out to Jared. Thank you so much for all you do. I greatly appreciate it. So yeah, and I have some guest hosts coming up while I am overseas. So make sure you show them love as well. I greatly appreciate all your continued support. It means so much to me. And I promise you, I'm going to get you a lot of exclusive interviews. So make sure you check out lvsportsnetwork.com. Stay tuned to Eyes on the Game at Helen Esports on social media. Going to be posting a lot of stuff. Make sure you stay tuned. And that starts tomorrow with the fight nights. And the pressers. So make sure you just tune into that. And then we're going to head to a quick break. But when we get back, like I said, I mean, I have the interviews with Errol Spence, TJ Dillashaw, Lyoto Machida, and Gegard Mousasi. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Eyes on the Game. Helen here with Eyes on the Game, being joined by the one and only, the champ and man of the hour, Mr. Errol Spence. Now, just wrapped up your final press conference against Sean Porter. It was pretty intense up there. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's very intense. I mean, we're 2-3 days away from the fight. We got to make weight Friday, so, you know, we might be a little hungry and malnourished, so we're just ready to get it on with each other.
Now, what's the first thing you're going to eat after you make weight?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to drink a lot of water, get some Pedialyte in me, and hopefully I eat some pasta or something so I can get my weight back.
Oh, yeah. Alfredo sauce?
Definitely.
Yes, that sounds very good. Now, we know there's been a lot of talk between you two, and I mean, you've said it yourself, there's a lot of talk from the Porter camp. Why do you think that is? Like, where that animosity stems from?
Kenny always been a big talker, but, you know, Sean Porter been talking a lot more. Yeah. So I think he's really pumped for this fight. I'm really pumped for it. Yeah. And I just can't wait to get it on.
Has anything that Sean said about you surprised you?
No, not at all. He's just been talking a little bit more. That's what surprised me a lot, because usually his dad's talking, but he's been stepping up, talking a little bit more.
Now, you are the IBF welterweight champion, looking to unify the title this weekend, regarded as one of the top boxers. How would you rank the welterweight division, removing yourself from it?
You know, I think it's the hottest division in boxing right now, like it's always been. And you want me to rate the fighters?
Yeah.
Like, from what, top five?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying two. Two is I say Sean's two. Okay. Pacquiao's three. Crawford's four. And Thurman's five.
And lastly, like I just mentioned, one of the top pound-for-pound fighters in all the divisions. Do you think with the win over Sean Porter this weekend that you deserve to be number one pound-for-pound?
Definitely, because I've been a unified champion of the division.
Yeah.
I hold two belts, and everybody else who's left holds one. So I think definitely I should be number one in the division.
Well, everyone is looking forward to your fight going down on Saturday. What would you like to tell them?
I'd like to tell you, everybody, make sure you tune in Saturday on Fox Pay-Per-View. It's going to be an amazing event. First of myself against Sean Porter, and I'm looking to put on a dominant performance.
Helen here with Eyes on the Game here at the Westin, being joined by Mr. TJ Dillashaw. Now, you are here helping your training partner, your friend Juan Archuleta, fighting in Bellator 228 this weekend.
Yeah.
How do you think he's looking?
Amazing. I mean, everyone always says this is the best he's ever looked, right? When you come into a fight, oh, it's the best I've ever felt, but it really is true. Juan's been able to put everything together, and it's just his stand-up. We've seen how much better it's gotten the last two and a half years since I've been working with him, but even just to see how his jiu-jitsu's performed and how his transitions are so smooth. I mean, this is a fight for the ages, and everyone's going to see how hard Juan Archuleta works as well as how good he is. And I know he's a big underdog going into this fight, but I see nothing but victory for us. You know, I've come into this, I've been a full-time coach now the last 10 weeks for Juan, and it's just so exciting to be able to watch him put it all together.
Yeah. Now, is there like a certain round that you predict a stoppage or going to a decision?
We're definitely going to stop him in the fourth and fifth round, the championship rounds. Mm-hmm. That's Juan's biggest weapon against Pitbull, is just his work ethic and his cardio. You know, there's no one that I've met like Juan. I mean, he's the only person that will ever outwork me, and it shows. You know, he's always 100 miles an hour when he fights, and we've actually kind of had to pull that back a little bit. I'd say that was like one thing we really worked on, is having controlled chaos rather than just chaos, right?
Yeah.
He's always pedal to the metal. And there's times to do it, and we're going to do that in this fight, and that's what's going to win us this fight, but in a controlled fashion.
You mentioned you've been busy. I mean, being a full-time coach,
yeah.
Obviously father, spending a lot of time with your lookalike, your son,
yeah.
Very cute. And then a businessman. Can you kind of talk about, you know, some of the businesses and everything you've been doing behind the scenes so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I obviously have my website, tjdillashaw.com, that runs my Fit to Fight program. I'm always put a lot of work into as much of that as I can and answering the questions. But a big one for me and a big change in my life has been the store Clean Juice, that I'm getting my permits done today, start construction on Monday, be open in Yorba Linda here in the beginning of November. I've talked a lot about my nutrition and working with Sam Calavita, and one of those things was how much I do of my cold press juicing once a day. And I had a company reach out to me, a franchise, Clean Juice. It's the fastest growing franchise since 2015, mainly on the East Coast and Midwest. We're moving into California, and we're taking over. And mine's going to be the flagship store. I'm actually going to do all the area development for Southern California. We're going to be opening 60 to 70 stores in Southern California area, from San Diego to North LA. So if you're interested in opening a Clean Juice, you know who to reach out to. And just to see, we're the only USDA approved all organic franchise. Actually, there's no other franchise that's USDA approved organic. So we're bringing you guys the best.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like you've been extremely busy.
Yeah.
And also with fatherhood, I mean, what's that been like to be able to spend a lot more time with your son and watching him grow up now?
It's been such a great change. You know, I play so much of a bigger role now that he's older, you know, walking in the front door and just seeing his smile on his face and wanting to wrestle and just, you know, he's such a little character, and 100 miles an hour. He runs around my house like Juan fights. You know, he just never stops.
Yeah.
And so having that time to be able to put it in with him has been something I would never trade. I wouldn't trade for anything in the world, because it's such a big part of his growing up and me feeling like a father, I guess. You know, it's something I've always wanted my entire life, and to have it is just, it's awesome. It's awesome to have the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure he appreciates it as well.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, looking, you know, in the UFC so far, a lot has been happening in both the flyweight and bantamweight divisions. I know you've said that you feel Joseph Benavidez deserves that next title shot and that rematch against Henry. If they do, or when they do fight again, how do you see that one playing out?
I mean, that's definitely the next fight that should happen. That's Henry Cejudo's last loss. Yeah. You know, Joseph Benavidez beat him in that flyweight division, and I think it's a very tough fight for Cejudo. I think Benavidez's dynamic style gives him a lot of trouble. So that's definitely the fight that should happen. If it doesn't, it's laziness or maybe Cejudo being scared, you know, because he should be fighting Benavidez next. And that bantamweight division needs me back. They need that entertainment back. They need me to come back and throw some wrinkles in the weight class and create some tension.
Yeah, and it seems like right now it is kind of up in the air who should be fighting for that bantamweight title, the number one contender. Who do you think it should be?
Me. When I come back, it just I don't know. I mean, that's why they need me back. They need something to cause some fire, to cause some rift, and that's my weight class. I had to give that belt up, and fair enough. I understand. Like I fucked up, you know, yeah. And I had to relinquish it, but I didn't lose. That's my belt. I'm still calling it my belt. I'm still the champion of the world, and when I come back, I will reclaim it.
Do you think Aljamain Sterling deserved a shot?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely making a point too, right? I think he had a fight lined up with Frank Yeager, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. And then he got hurt.
The surgery.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, so I guess he did. But, yeah, I really don't know who. You know, I think Cejudo's next fight should be Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah, and what about Uriah Faber? It looks like he unretired or came out of retirement for that fight against Ricky Simon and then supposedly got offered a fight with Peter Yan. What do you think about Uriah Faber?
You know, I have some past, I guess you almost like call grudges or relationships with him, you know? So, the only thing you hope is he's not coming back to fight because he has to for money. You know, you always hope that's not the case. But I wouldn't mind smacking him a couple of times. So hopefully he doesn't retire for too long.
So would you like to fight him as your, you know, return to the UFC?
We'll see. We'll see if I haven't even really been paying attention too much of what's going on with the UFC, with everything I got going on. And I've distanced myself on purpose. Yeah. You know, I've stayed in the gym, but I haven't paid attention to any of the drama. I haven't paid attention to too many of the fights. When I get closer and it becomes time to decide who I'm going to fight, that's when I'll get involved in it. But, yeah, I mean, that would be a very satisfying win for me.
Over a Cody Garbrandt?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Cody was almost just like his little troll, like his little, like, his minion, right? I mean, everything that Cody had against me or said didn't make any sense because it wasn't his gym. He came in as I was going out of the gym. So none of that stuff made sense. He just wanted to run his mouth and be colorful. And I had to prove that Cody wasn't as good as he thought he was. You know, he couldn't back up his mouth. And now we see a lot of other people proving that he has those holes in his game. He's got no chin. So that guy's the least of my worries.
But you don't foresee yourself patching things up with them in the future?
No, I highly doubt it. Yeah, I mean, I've lost, you know, unfortunately, I've lost a lot of friends in this world of MMA. You know, the world of MMA is a very finicky place. And you see it all the time. People change camps, and then there's drama between it. And I've lost people that I've called close friends, and it sucks. But now the people that I have around me are the people that are supposed to be around me. You know, this all happened for a reason. I don't believe in coincidences. I all believe that things happen for a reason. Even with my suspension, there's, you know, me getting double shoulder surgery, coming back healthy, spending time with my son, setting up my life outside of fighting. There's been so many signs that have shown that this was needed.
A blessing in disguise, right?
I mean, it's a very, it is. It's a blessing in disguise. I mean, I would never, ever have wanted this, but it has paid off. You know, I have done very well for myself as being an entrepreneur outside of the cage and setting myself up. Because, I mean, I don't want to fight forever. You know, I see myself as being a smart fighter that's done great things with his money and is going to continue to do so. And I won't be hurting. I won't be having to come out of retirement to fight when I decide to retire.
Yes, and it'll all be on your terms. Exactly. But what would you like to tell all your fans who are anticipating your return?
My return will be great. My return will be strong. I will not have any ring rust, and I will be the champion of the world again. Killashaw is coming back strong.
Helene here with Eyes on the Game here at the Westin, being joined by Mr. Lyoto Machida. Now, you're heading into this rematch 5 years later against Gegard Mousasi. First off, how was this camp for you?
This camp was amazing. I had 8 weeks of training, very hard training. But before this camp, I had another camp when I fought Charles Sonnen. So it's almost two fights in a row. That's good because put more disciplined and also I have more time of training.
Now you are riding a 4-fight win streak, the second longest in your pro career, other than your debut, the 16-0. What do you credit to this resurgence?
So I had some changes in my training camp. So, and also we joined to a really good partner and old friend, Vinicio Antoni. He's our head coach. And my training camp is specific to myself. So everybody was in there is to help me out. And there is no other way to do that. Like, I mean, like, for example, I see a couple of gyms, like a big gyms, which is good to training. But this time I changed my camp since when I had my first victory in this victory streak.
Now, you have fought so many greats, such as the John Jones, Rashad Evans, Dan Henderson. In your opinion, who do you think is the top pound for pound right now?
So numbers never lie. I believe that John Jones can be the top pound for pound because he never lost. He has the best outcome in his career. So you got to be honest. And in my point of view, I believe that John Jones.
And you have fought John Jones. What do you think it takes to be able to beat him?
I'm sorry?
What do you think it would take for someone to beat him?
It's hard. John Jones is a very well-rounded fighter, and he changed everything in the middle of the round, in the middle of the fight. He unpredictable fighter. It's very hard. So if you have to face John Jones, you have to plan a very good strategy and be able to change in the middle of the fight. I think that's the key to beat John Jones.
And looking back at your very successful career, is there a certain fight that taught you the most about yourself?
About myself?
Yeah.
Can you repeat again?
Is there a specific fight that taught you the most about yourself?
So every fight, so I try to have some teaching from the fight. But the fight against my last loss actually taught me a lot. No, that's I had a lot of teaching from that fight.
And lastly, I know you are signed to Bellator multi-fight contract. Do you foresee yourself finishing your career here at Bellator?
Definitely. I love Bellator. I'm very happy to be here, and I want to be here for forever.
Now, what would you like to tell all your fans tuning in to watch you this weekend?
So I had a great camp, and always when I step in the cage, I give my best. And this time it's not going to be different, and I'll bring this victory.
Helen E. here with Eyes on the Game here at the Westin, being joined by the one and only Mr. Gegard Mousasi. Now, you're going into this rematch 5 years later. First off, how was this camp?
Camp was been great. Didn't do that much, so I'm very hungry to give my all in the fight.
Now, like I just mentioned, this is a rematch, but you've beaten tough guys like the Chris Weidman, Thiago Santos, Vitor Belfort in your career. So where do you think Lyoto ranks amongst tough guys that you fought so far?
He's one of the legends, he's up there. He's up there like Vitor Belfort, Dan Henderson, Mark Hunt, you name it, Chris Weidman, Jack Ray. So it would be a great win to have if I beat him.
Now, you only have two more fights on your Bellator contract. Do you foresee yourself finishing up your career in Bellator?
Yeah, 100%. I have a great relationship with Scott Coker, so I got these two fights. I'm trying to get the belt back and then maybe do bigger things, maybe light heavyweight or welterweight, but first, Machida.
And you have won titles in many promotions from Dream, Cage Warriors, Strikeforce, Bellator. When you reflect on your career, is there something you haven't done or accomplished that you still wish you could have?
Well, UFC is nice to have the belt, but that would have been something that would have been nice. But I'm not there, and I'm not thinking about it. My goal is now middleweight belt, and then because I got options to go welterweight and light heavyweight, maybe I can do great things, so to leave a great legacy behind.
Yes, and speaking of legacy, many regard you as one of the greatest middleweights of all time. But removing yourself out of the picture, who do you think is the greatest middleweight?
Well, Anderson was there up there when he looked incredible and he was dominating everybody. Since then, there hasn't been anybody that's been winning all over for a very long time. So I would say Anderson Silva for his long winning streaks and winning all his fights. Yeah.
But what do you think about Robert Whittaker, though?
Yeah, he could go there 100%. He's a tough guy. He comes to fight. He looked great. I enjoy watching his fights. But he has some way to go to called one of the greatest, let's say.
Do you think he'll beat Israel next week?
I would give him a slight advantage. Yeah.
And lastly, what would you like to tell all your fans tuning in to watch you this weekend?
I'm coming to fight, and I'm going to win.
Welcome back to Eyes on the Game. Happy Friday. And yes, this is one of my last Fridays in the U.S., as I briefly spoke about earlier on in the show, that I'm going to Australia Sunday night. And then the Sunday or the week after, I'll be in Tokyo. So I probably won't really know which day and time it is. Probably going to be the opposite of what you're listening to. So I probably won't be able to talk to you until I'm back here in the States. But I do have some great guest hosts lined up. So make sure you stay tuned and show them love as well. But I will always be having my interviews posted on lvsportsnetwork.com, and my interviews will still be played on this show. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. It's just my days will be kind of flip-flopped around. But like I said, I do have a special guest with me, the Schmo. We were at the Spence versus Porter weigh-ins that took place. I'm kind of used to the midday weigh-ins, so it was the first time that I feel like I've been to one a bit earlier. And that went down, as well as the Bellator 228 ones. We've been covering both events simultaneously. It's been great, been having a lot of good content, and tomorrow Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz will be at that press conference before Spence versus Porter goes down tomorrow night here in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. So with that long introduction aside, welcome back to the Schmo.
The show to the Schmo. Thanks for having me, Helen. Man, it's been a circus. Bellator to boxing to Bellator to boxing. Back and forth we go. Helen, great to be here. Thanks for having the Schmo back on Eyes on the Game.
So what did you think about the weigh-ins? I mean, both guys, Sean Porter, WBC welterweight champion, Errol Spence, IBF welterweight champion, trying to unify to become WBC champ. They both weighed in on the dot 147, and this time Sean Porter did not have to shave or cut his hair.
Yes, the red belt versus the green belt. IBF versus WBC, both weighing 147 pounds, like you said. Hey, they are focused. This is all business. They both know it's going to be a dogfight. The toughest opponent of each other's career. Would you agree with that, Helen? This is the toughest opponent for each of them. They know each other. Kenny Porter training Errol Spence Jr., back in the early 2000s, mid 2012-ish, 2010-ish, for the Olympic stuff. They know each other ins and outs very, very well. They've been training. They knew this day would come. So excited for this to go down tomorrow night, Helen. It's going to be a dogfight. Porter's fights always are. You got to give the edge still. Doesn't matter how great of a talker that Sean Porter is. physically, you know, you watch them fight, the Schmo's got to give the edge to Errol Spence Jr.
I agree. And by the way, good interview with Errol Spence. You made him laugh. I've interviewed him a few times. I've never seen him laugh, maybe crack a smile. But yeah, he was cracking up at what were you saying to him?
I don't even know. Listen, this guy is so straight-laced. It was the Schmo's mission to finally make this guy laugh. I just wanted to get him to say his message to Sean Porter. And then I got him to crack. You know, we were talking about the weight cut. We're talking about looking good. The Dog Daves of training in Dallas. You know, one thing led to another. We got Errol Spence Jr. to crack a smile.
Yeah. And laugh. Go WWE mode. Speaking of WWE, we briefly saw Booker T today. Hopefully we'll be able to catch him tomorrow for a quick interview. Trying my best to always try to get you the content. Literally, like, I would, if I could, sleep in front of gyms or sleep in front, whatever, with a sleeping bag just to get an interview, I would.
That's just not how comfortable, though, Helen.
I know, but that's the way I roll. Like, I mean, if you listen to my show around the Mayweather versus McGregor time, I basically, and those who have listened to and tuned in during those times and those supporters who followed me throughout this whole journey so far, thank you. And they would know that I always made the joke that how I got all those interviews is because I'm sleeping in front of the gyms.
Well, you're a hustler, just like the Schmo. That's why the Schmo likes hanging around you, Helen Esports. We both hustle, we both do it. Let's transition to the other fight promotion that we've been hustling with this week, Bellator 228. What do you think of that main event? Lyoto Machida against Gegard Mousasi, a rematch from 2014 where they went 5 rounds and Machida won that by decision. How do you see it going down this time around, Helen?
Yeah, I mean, one's coming off a win, one coming off a loss. Gegard Mousasi, when I did speak to him, and his interview along with Lyoto's that played a bit ago on my show. But, I mean, they both seem really hungry. I'm going to give that edge to Gegard Mousasi. I know sometimes when fighters are coming off of a loss, maybe that gets them mentally, right? But I feel Gegard, and kind of looking at his history, looking at his record, I mean, he is one to always come back. And I know Lyoto is very tough, riding a 4-fight win streak, the longest in his pro career, or since his pro debut when he was 16-0. So he's kind of been having a bit of that resurgence. But I still will give that edge to Gegard Mousasi.
Hate to agree with you on everything, but the Schmo is going to agree with you on this. 41 years old, Lyoto Machida, Gegard Mousasi. It's always difficult to beat someone twice, right? And you look back on the film, they're both evolved in their fight games. When the Schmo spoke to Gegard, Gegard mentioned that he trained a lot less for this fight camp. You know, psychologically, just the vibes I got from him, he seemed like he was in a good mental place. He kind of knows where he's at in his career. Obviously, coming off the loss, there's a lot left to prove, and you always want to get vengeance. It doesn't sit well when you lose to someone, especially when it goes 5 rounds of decision. I just see it going Gegard's way this time around. The younger fighter, the guy who's got more to prove in this fight, I'll give it to Gegard.
Yes. And what about the co-main event? I know we both spoke to TJ Dillashaw, former UFC bantamweight champion. Of course, he is out right now, still serving his suspension. But he is head coach, or I guess been full-time coach to Juan Archuleta, his teammate. And Juan is fighting Patricio Pitbull, who is coached under Eric Abadassin, who's probably in the running to become coach of the year, right? Two champs with Pitbull and Henry Cejudo. Obviously, they have something good cooking.
It's always interesting, Helen, when you got a guy who just came off of a win, winning a belt at 155, normally a 145-pounder, who now cuts down and loses that muscle mass to go back down to 145. I think it makes Pitbull in a more vulnerable position than his last fight. Obviously, he's the favorite. But Juan Archuleta, 18 fight winning streak, 23-1. This guy is no slouch. TJ Dillashaw told you, Helen, that this is the only guy he's ever been around that can outwork him. It's going to be a dogfight. Another one. Just like Porter Spence in boxing, this one will be a dogfight. These guys are going to go at it. It's not going to be an easy fight. I'm not going to say Juan Archuleta is going to get the W, but the schmo's not going to be surprised if he does get the W.
I agree. I feel like just thinking about all these fights, besides the Spence-Porter one, which I think it'll be a good fight, but I do believe strongly that Errol Spence, with all due respect, but that Errol Spence will win. Do I believe he'll win in a knockout fashion? I'm not positive.
I don't think so. You know, yeah. And this is what Sean Porter's words. He couldn't knock out 135-pound Mikey Garcia. What makes he think he's going to knock out 147-pound Sean Porter?
Yeah, so, I mean, aside from that fight, it seems like all the other fights are pretty close, or it's kind of hard to predict. And as we all know, as you know, since you're tuning into the show right now, and you know, I talk a lot about combat sports, trying to always give you exclusive interviews, but fights are always 50-50 at the end of the day. I mean, ask Jorge Masvidal, right? 5-second KO.
Styles make fights. You have two guys who go in there and try to impose their will with their styles on each other. It's just, hey, if you're a fight fan, this is just a phenomenal weekend of fights. Because then there's also a UFC fight card with someone who you've interviewed, Jared Cannonier against Jack the Joker Hermanson, UFC Copenhagen. That's going to be a great fight. There's just so many great options for fight fans this weekend. And as you said, at the end of the day, we're not going to know until the bell rings or the referee starts it, whichever you say goes first, and we're going to see who wins.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a great fight is happening overseas. How do you think that Jack versus Jared fight's going to go?
Well, hey, both these guys like to grapple. Both these guys aren't afraid. You know,
what a performance by Jack over Joffrey.
Oh, amazing. But I think Jared's going to try to keep this thing standing. Remember what his leg kicks did to Anderson the Spider Silva? I think he's going to try to do those leg kicks. I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to weaken a guy who's going to try to grapple you and get you down to the ground. Each of these guys are going to pose their wills. Obviously, Jack Hermanson, the Joker, is going to have the home fan base behind him. You know, enemy territory, not something that Cannonier isn't used to. But the thing that's finds me so fascinated with Cannonier is he's a guy who started heavyweight and who's quietly worked his way down to the middleweights. He's naturally wants a bigger guy, and you gotta think, at the end of the day, the muscle memory, the power, that stuff is still there.
Hey, kind of like even Gegard Mousasi, right? You spoke to him about fighting at heavyweight. Can you believe that Gegard Mousasi once beat Mark Hunt?
It's amazing. Hey, but that's how fighting was back in the day, you know, the mid to late 2000s.
Open weight.
You're just going to take the money. You're going to take the fight that's offered to you if the money's there. If you're a fighter, you're going to fight. Hey, you need me to eat some Philly cheesesteaks? I'll eat some Philly cheesesteaks. I will take that money. I am the baddest man. Let's sell this inside the cage. That's the mindset.
Yeah, so no doubt, like you said, Schmo, there's so many great fights ahead. But
hey, Helen, it's the Schmo.
Sorry. Like you said, the Schmo. So many great fights ahead. But before I let you go, and before I wrap up this show, and before we go to Australia, a quick preview of our upcoming trip, because I did do a little preview on Wednesday, but I did it myself. But now, with you joining me on the show right now, I can't let you go without a quick preview.
Preview/rundown. Here we go. We're going to be in Australia. Cannot wait for the Gastelum Adesanya fight.
Gastelum.
Oh, Gastelum. My bad. Whitaker. Gastelum's fighting Darren Till in New York. Getting ahead of myself. Can't wait for that fight, too. We'll get to that in the rundown.
I know you're thinking Gastelum's beating Till now.
Why? We'll get to that in 2 seconds there. Can't wait for that fight with Paulo Costa, the Eraser, in attendance. We're going to be there for that. So excited for that. We're going to be doing that. Then we go to Tokyo for ONE Championship. First time covering that promotion and doing that overseas over there. It's going to be phenomenal. Then we go to UFC Boston, where we're going to get the rematch, which I'm so excited for, of what we saw in Mexico. We're going to get...
Or what we thought almost we saw.
Almost saw with Yair Rodriguez, Jeremy Stevens. Phenomenal. Chris Weidman, Dominic Reyes.
Yes, and good interview with Big John McCarthy about Yair
Jeremy Stevens. Yes, check it out on the Schmoes YouTube page. When you get some time, we just interviewed Big John McCarthy. His input on the IPOC and Herb Dean, phenomenal stuff. Check it out, the Schmoes YouTube page. Now, we do that, and then, of course, UFC, November 2nd, 244 in New York. Calvin Gastelum, Darren Till, and then you got... Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz. Oh, Helen, it's all going down.
Yeah, but speaking of that, and a lot of people saying Jorge Masvidal, his quote-unquote superstardom really shot up since that flying knee in July, right, over Ben Askren. And them really, he's been getting a lot more national attention, which is very well deserved. I mean, he started off street fighting, you know, been in the game forever, one of the OGs. Do you think his superstardom is bigger than Nate Diaz's?
I don't think so. I think the skill set, I think only we see a lot of it now is because he's been more active. Diaz just has the one fight in the past few years.
McGregor.
Well, he has the Conor McGregor, but then it's been 3 years or so. And then he finally just gets back into it. He takes care of business against an Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
If Nate Diaz gets the W, I guess if any of these guys gets the W, clearly they're more favorite. But what Nate Diaz has always had on his side, he's got the Nick Diaz, they got the army, the Diaz brothers, the Diaz army right there. Popular fighters, Conor McGregor. Masvidal, that flying knee, that really took him to another level. That was phenomenal. And then the fight before it really got him popular, too. The three-piece in the sword, the Leon Edwards stuff.
Oh,
knock it out there until...
So it was back-to-back.
The back-to-back for that stuff. He had all that action.
Oh, and knocking out Darren Till. Remember when he was speaking to the kids in Florida, and they played that for the kids, the knockout?
Shout out UFC, baby. UFC playing it for the children. Hey, at least they brought him there. He explained it. They can see he's a sane guy. Only does it when he's getting paid and does it inside the cage. Doesn't do it on the streets like he used to. Rest in peace, Kimbo Slice, Backyard Brawlers, Miami. Let's go. Phenomenal stuff. No, I would just say it to Diaz because Diaz has the popular. He's got the big name fighters behind him. Got the brother. He's been popular for a longer period of time, and now he's being more active. Yeah, I'd say Diaz still has the edge in popularity slightly.
Yes, but like I mentioned, no doubt will there be a lot of great fights and a lot of exclusive interviews for you. Make sure you favorite, bookmark lvsportsnetwork.com. Follow me at Helene Sports. Follow the Schmo at theschmo312 and his YouTube channel that grows every day.
Appreciate that, Helen. Yeah, just, you know, type up the Schmo right there, S-C-H-M-O, and you'll find me, we hope.
Yes, and like I said, I mean, we're covering all these fights coming up.
Let's just say this, people. There is no one in media that's covering more fights than Helene Sports and the Schmo leading up to the end of 2019, all the way through December. You know, they're going to have UFC 245 in Vegas. What we're covering all the way through that, we got Logan Paul, KSI, that boxing fight back
DC.
In Los Angeles. We're going to be UFC DC fight night card. We have so many fights lined up. What a treat. What a treat, Helen.
Yes. Like I said, I'll go anywhere to get you that exclusive interview. And don't worry, I mean, my mentality is still the same. If I got to sleep in a car, if I got to sleep outside the gym, I'll get you that interview. So... tune in, lvsportsnetwork.com. As always, I appreciate you joining me, the Schmo. Make sure you follow him at the Schmo 312. We're going to be very busy coming up, but I appreciate your support so much. It means the world to me. And any last words, the Schmo?
We're out.